Hollywood actors and writers are on strike simultaneously for the first time in more than 60 years, bringing most film and television productions to a halt. In addition to that, hotel workers in L.A. are staging rolling strikes, and UPS workers are threatening to strike as well. The impact of all of these job actions are being felt locally and across the United States.
The fight of workers in this industry is really the same fight of workers all over the country. The problem today is not that people aren't working. The problem today is that people are working, but they're still not making enough to get by.
What's going on with this summer of strikes? How is it affecting those industries as well as the general economy? And how can those strikers manage to keep hanging on financially despite months of not getting a paycheck? There are lessons there that can help any one of us during lean times. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to Fox 11 News In Depth. It is the summer of strikes, a season of discontent. We've been mired in labor issues for months, both locally and nationally. As UPS workers contemplate a strike possibly just days away, Alaska Airlines flight attendants picket, hotel workers stage walkouts, and on and on, it seems to go here in L.A. We've been mired in these strikes by entertainment workers going back to May. So we want to look at all of that. We want to talk about that over the next half hour. Joining us right now, entertainment attorney and journalist Jonathan Handel. And thanks for being with us, Jonathan. First of all, before we get right into this, I just want to say for the record here that it's important to understand that all of the news, sports, and weather anchors and reporters here on Fox 11 are SAG-AFTRA.
That's right.
And we function under a separate contract, the contract we have with Fox 11 and KCOP. So,
Which is not struck.
That's and right. So as all the thousands and thousands of people are out there with those SAG-AFTRA picket signs, we are in the same union.
That's right.
There's a lot of concern for everybody out there that's got a picket sign. But we are not obviously involved in a labor action, and I thought that was important for the record. And
yes.
So as we look at this and we see what's happening now, and you and I have talked a couple of times during this labor dispute that's been going on with the writers and now SAG-AFTRA, what is your size up? What's your picture at the moment here?
Well, let's start with the forest. And first of all, pleasure to be back with you, of course. The forest here for all of these unions, the two entertainment unions and the various other unions that have either walked, threatened to walk, or may walk, is that the level of income inequality and wealth inequality in this country has reached a breaking point for unions across the country and for workers across the country. This has just been getting worse and worse. People see the sort of money that, in particular, tech billionaires have, but that, you know, and media billionaires and multimillionaires. And at the same time, many people struggle, at least from time to time, if not constantly, to put food on the table, keep a roof over their heads. And, of course, we have a certain percentage of people who starve in the streets and sleep on the sidewalks, while others make, you know, $1 million a second in interest on their wealth. So this is a class warfare undertone and underpinning to this. The level of inequality has reached a breaking point.
This has become very public. There's a lot of stuff on the news with regard to these labor actions. And why is it that you think that we haven't seen much movement on these both the WGA and the SAG-AFTRA strikes?
Well, because this issue is existential for all three sides, the third side, of course, being management. The labor side is that these jobs have become, in their view, increasingly underpaid and increasingly precarious and now increasingly threatened, potentially at least, by AI, a topic that we discussed, in fact, several weeks ago on this show.
Right.
Management's position, and it's important to understand that there is a studio position. They're not simply, you know, monolithic, as it were. Management's position is this. The film and entertainment industry, meaning film and TV, is incredibly challenged. The box office, theatrical box office, we've seen a lot of misses lately with even Mission Impossible underperformed to a degree. Box office is down 20% compared to 2019. It'll never come back to those levels. Linear television, both broadcast and cable, are dying a death, with all respect to the station that we're on. It is a very challenging time, and audiences are shrinking, and they are aging out of the demographic that national advertisers want. And finally, streaming, which, of course, is the present and future, to compete effectively with Netflix means trying to access and deploy enormous amounts of capital at a time when it's much harder to do that than when Netflix, as first mover a decade ago, was doing it. So the industries are challenged. The labor response to that is, first of all, we don't trust you guys, but even if we do, and even if you are challenged, if you're going to build a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar platform for hundreds of millions of people based on our labor and our work product, we need to be compensated decently, and we need to have a degree of non-precarity.
A lot of folks out there may think that every actor is like a Tom Cruise or, you know, like a Meryl Streep, that they're
that's right.
successful, that's, they have a lot of money. That's not at all the case.
That's not at all the case. There is that misconception out there. The actors whose names and faces many of us, most of us recognize, are at the top of a pyramid. It is a salary and wealth and power pyramid. There are people who are at the very top who earn unimaginable amounts of money, the next level who earn lots of money, the next level and so forth. But the bulk of people, just like as a pyramid expands, the bulk of the working actors in SAG-AFTRA are middle class and working class and trying to survive in two of the most expensive cities in this country, New York and L.A.
And it's not at all uncommon to go into a coffee shop and have the waitress or the waiter come up to you, and as you're taking the order, you learn that they're an actor.
Or even recognize them from a popular show.
Possibly so.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's a difficult economy. This is making the economy even more challenging, which we'll talk about during this half hour. But I guess I'm also wondering about some of the things that have been said out loud. On CBS's Face the Nation Sunday, IAC Chairman Barry Diller called the top paid actors and movie executives alike to take 25% pay cuts. And so what do you think of what Barry Diller is saying there?
Well, I'm as likely to find a quarter or a dollar under my pillow as that is to happen. But he is pointing to the inequality that we're talking about. And, you know, when we also look at Bob Iger, president, CEO, rather, of Disney, which owns ABC and other assets, saying that the actors are being unreasonable, he earns literally 1,000 times what the typical actor earns. And he gets a performance bonus, even though in his contract, even though he's objected to the idea of performance enhancements to residuals.
We only have about a minute here. I just want to sneak in one or two more little things. First of all, what is your sense about these comments we keep hearing about studios wanting to drag this out so that actors, writers all end up in a situation where they have so little money that they're more vulnerable to these talks?
Whoever's saying that out loud is, we don't know who it is, and of course the studios have denied that's their strategy. That's an element.
But you've heard this.
But I've heard it. I've heard the reports. The reports were anonymously sourced. They were from a publication that sometimes is reliable and sometimes less so. So my jury's out as to whether someone responsible at a top level actually said that. But it's hard not to think that that's at least part of the strategy.
You know, it's hard when you watch people out on a picket line. You know that they're not getting a paycheck. You know that their resources are getting smaller and smaller. Jonathan Handel, thanks so much for being with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take a look at the effect of Hollywood strikes and others are having on companies that rely on the entertainment industry for business and the economy in general. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. As we continue to look at the season of strikes, let's talk about the economic impact. And there is one. We know that. Take a look at that Writers Guild strike back in 2007, for instance. What was the impact on that?
We had $2.1
billion
was our estimate. $2.1
billion. This is Kevin Cloudon. He's an economist. He's also the, let me get your title right, because it's the Chief Global Strategist with the Milken Institute.
That is correct.
How's that all fit on a business card?
Well, it fits pretty well, but you have to have reading glasses to see it.
Is that right? Well, you know, I want to ask you a little bit more about the economic impact of things. And it's not just about actors, writers, UPS workers, airline workers. It's also the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. It's the local mom-and-pop shop. How do they all fit into this equation of unintended consequences?
Unfortunately, very heavily, very thoroughly. The first thing you realize when you look at any of these strikes, and when we looked at the last writer's strike, that what we saw was it was your local restaurants that depend on this business. It's your caterers, it's your dry cleaners, it's your construction and specialist people, your dry, you know, people who do spot welding, people who do all kinds of different services, ranging from camera rentals to the people who set up and run the star wagons that you sit in. All of those individuals get affected. And the longer a strike goes on, the more they have to lay people off. They have to look at their tight bottom lines. And this time round, you're dealing with the fact that a number of these businesses were already reeling from the pandemic.
And I've heard people say that it's so expensive to live here that if this strike goes on for a long, 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 long time, they may not be able to continue to live here.
Absolutely. And what we found last time when there was a strike is people left. That was only a 3-month strike, and people still moved out. They looked at it and said, I can't afford to. I'm on the margins. If I'm an actor and I have only so much savings, I decide, okay, it's not worth it. Maybe I'll move back to Wyoming, or I'll move to Chicago or somewhere else where there's other kinds of work. And that's not just true here. That's true anywhere there's filming.
And we think about these people out on the picket line and the fact they're not getting a paycheck, or they're drawing on their savings and the wallet's getting thinner and thinner. But you know what? It's the movie theaters that aren't getting the people coming in either. It's you know, all of the sort of things that circle this universe, and you're kind of a global strategist. I mean, what point does this get to be something that strangles us economically?
Well, the one piece of good news for our broader economy is that last time we were about to go into the Great Recession, and California actually went into the Great Recession early. In fact, we found that the writer's strike was a contributing factor. This time, the good news is the labor market is more robust, the demand is higher, more jobs are being added. But we came out of the pandemic. And that means that movie theaters, as you just mentioned, they're still reeling. People aren't going to the movies the way they were in 2019. There are a few movies that do well, but it's not part of people's routine. People are still less willing to be out in public. They're less willing to sit around others. No matter what anybody says, it's not part of people's psyche as it is.
We think of Hollywood, Tinseltown, center of the entertainment universe. But you know what? Films are shot all over the country. Television shows are made all over the country, even in other countries. But the thing is, this really does have a very widespread impact.
Absolutely. And film incentives, which is a whole other issue, has played a really large role in luring productions. First, they went to Canada, then they went to places like Louisiana. But now it's really New York and Atlanta are the big ones. And then there are some smaller centers around the country. And even though the center of everything is here, people are more likely to live here, people more likely to do pickup jobs, small productions, various things like that here. The fact is that, you know, if you're going and seeing a big Marvel movie, if you're going and seeing a Netflix show, they're likely in Georgia. Even if the chunks of it are here, they have the soundstage there, they have the incentives there. So a lot of employment is there. And in New York is a massive center. They have more incentives, they have a bigger setup. But the most people by far who are in the industry are still in Southern California. And that impact is still going to be felt most here.
As you watch all this unfold, what do you see in your mind going down the road?
Well, right now I don't see any winners. We are already in a situation where, even before the pandemic, Hollywood was dealing with the fact that the margins coming from DVDs, the things that were coming from broadcast television, they're not getting replaced by streaming in the same way. And right now, everybody's looking at it and saying, well, streaming was absolutely gangbusters and amazing when it was a captive audience during the pandemic, but we're not there anymore. And right now, nobody's really sure where the money is coming from. So the producers are worried because they're not sure what the revenues are. And the actors, as you mentioned, let alone the writers and everybody else, they saw cost of living go up way up, and they're not sure how they can stay in this business unless they're getting a better price of the pie.
We have about a half a minute, and I don't want to ignore some of these other labor disputes that are going on, but what happens if there's like a UPS strike?
If there's a UPS strike, then the supply chains go out the window. When you say mom and pop shops, you're talking about not getting the products they need, let alone just, you know, sometimes the flour or the sugar or anything like that. But it could be the clothes, it could be the new toys, it could be whatever. They don't have it. And if they don't have it, they can't make the things they need. They can't sell you what you want, let alone what you're getting from mail order or anywhere else.
Well, at this point, I think what we can do is hope for the best And Kevin Cloud, thank you very much for sharing some of your knowledge on all of this. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, strikers are being stretched to the max, and it's going to become even harder to make ends meet the longer the job actions go on. But there are ways of coping. There is good advice for all of us when it comes to how to deal with our budgets, and that's coming up next. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. We've been talking about the summer of strikes, a season of labor discontent, and so many issues going on in so many different industries right now. And the more one is on the picket line, the more you start feeling that financial pain. That's what we want to talk about next year with personal finance expert Bobby Rebell. She's the founder of Financial Wellness Strategies. And, you know, we hear a lot, Bobby, about all kinds of things. And this is your book. It's called Launching Financial Grownups. And sometimes I wish I was a financial grown-up, but that's another story for another show. I got to tell you, you know, we look at these folks, they're out there with commitment and dedication, and they're, you know, they're doing what's right for them, and whatever the industry, mm-hmm. And yet the paychecks aren't coming, and so they're drawing on savings or whatever. We talked last segment about the idea that some people may get to a point that they say, I can't live here. What do you tell these people? You know, a recent study showed that 58% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. No emergency funds. You gotta wonder if those on the picket line are dealing with paycheck to paycheck budgets. What's that going to be like for them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Hal, you are a financial grown-up, and thank you for having me.
This
is really tough stuff. Look, as your last guest said, I mean, this is going to hit the macro economy and the local economy very hard, and it's going to hit the economy of one even harder, frankly. So this is a very difficult time, the entertainment industry being hit hard, but other industries also dealing with this as well. And so if you find yourself in a position where you have your income basically stops, and as you mentioned so well, so many people living paycheck to paycheck without emergency funds, I want everyone to just stop and take a self-assessment, like a self-audit, and see what resources do I have. You may not have something that you consider an emergency fund, but look, what money, what resources can I access right away? Am I eligible for unemployment? Very often striking workers are not, but for example, they might be eligible for a strike fund, for grants, or for loans. If you are in a state like New York, where after a waiting period, you can get unemployment, think about that. If you are in a lockout, or for example, as your last guest mentioned, you are laid off in an industry that's impacted by a strike, you probably might be eligible for unemployment. So think about where you can get your income and get some cash flow going.
There are often strike funds. I don't know exactly in any of these industries how much that might be, if at all. But, you know, some people may have liquid assets and not even thinking about it, that they could drain if they had to.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also want to think about where you can get income. You obviously do not want to violate the terms of the strike, but there may be other things, other side hustles that you can do to create some cash flow. You also want to think about where you can cut your expenses. You want to figure out basically what it costs to be you. So you're not you living your best life. You're you living your good enough to get by life. So what does that mean? That means starting with a budget zero and adding it, what does it cost for the most essential things? Your housing, your food, your insurance, don't stop that, of course. And also the things you need to do to generate income. It might be the car payments, it might be internet, whatever it is, you know, get down to those basics, and you need to get rid of those, you know, I know it's ironic with the entertainment industry, but get rid of things like those streaming services if you don't need them. Get rid of those discretionary expenses. And also think about things you have coming up that are costing you money that you can cut. So you may want to delay a vacation, especially if it hasn't been prepaid. If it's been prepaid, you want to delay it maybe anyway, because there might be ancillary things. So see if you can push that forward. Think about adjusting plans. If you had plans to socialize in ways that cost a lot of money, find a way to bring down the cost of that. Maybe you all have your friends over and have everyone bring something rather than going out to the dinner that you'd like to. And of course, the irony of this, Hal, is then you're not supporting the local businesses, which is why this is a really tough situation.
And that's the conundrum, isn't it? Because as you try to lower that overhead, you're not going to be spending that discretionary money you're looking at right there at the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick makers.
Exactly. You got it. So the other, but again, this segment, we're talking about the economy of one. So I also want to give people advice to not be shy about sharing your situation with the people that might be empathetic and might be helpful to you. That might, believe it or not, be people that you pay your bills to, like your credit card company. Call them up, tell them what's going on, and say, can you maybe pause my payments? It sounds crazy, but a lot of them might do that. They did it in the pandemic very often. They also might lower your interest rate. They might get rid of fees. You also, as I mentioned earlier, might say, if you have, let's say, a non-refundable airline ticket, but it's going to cost you more to go on that vacation that you had planned a while ago with the hotel and all the other things that you're going to pay, ask, can I at least maybe get a credit and take that vacation sometime in the future when I can afford all the other costs that are going to go on? Talk to people and see what they can do. And also think about how saving money around the house, instead of going out to eat, which again, I know the economy, but eat what's in your house. Make sure that you don't let food go bad. That is something that I have been guilty of. Know what's in your fridge, know what's in your pantry, shop the pantry, and be really mindful about all of your sort of little spendy things that you don't necessarily need to be doing. And in your heart, you know what those are.
And as we talk about the economy of one, as you put it, we only have about a minute left. What is the very most important thing you want to tell anybody out there, especially anybody out there that might be on the picket line right now?
Yeah, hang in there and don't be afraid to share what's going on with friends and family, because they can be a wonderful support. They can not only brainstorm with you with things to do, they're going to make sure that you stay within your budget as much as you can. They're going to be there. Maybe in the future, you might need to hit them up for money. We hope not. But they're going to be the best sounding board. And you don't want people to, you don't want to be shy about it.
Yeah.
You want to let people know, because people want to help you.
People do want to help you.
We're in these situations.
Yeah, and we've got to help ourselves to the next commercial break. But but Bobby Rebell, thanks so much. That's great information.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this show, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.